It is an honor, dear Lord, that you allow us to come straight to you, straight to your throne of grace, dear Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, you hear each and every spoken prayer request, those that are sick, those diagnoses, dear Lord, those situations that are going forward. And, dear Lord, we ask you to touch and heal and mend at this time. And, dear Lord, for the praise reports, Lord, we know now that if we've placed things in your hand and we're thanking you for those healings, even those things unseen, dear Lord, Lord, that we may just worship you and praise you. Dear Lord, again, for those that are traveling, for those that have lost their loved ones, dear Lord, we ask for you just to keep them in your precious hands and your arms around them, dear Lord. They may feel that your strength and through your grace and mercy. Again, dear Lord, we just praise and worship you. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory. We ask you just to touch our pastor. Touch his back, dear Lord. Strengthen Brother Eddie now, dear Lord, and Sister Penny, dear Lord, as they go forward about your work. And, Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' most precious name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God, praise God. Might be few in number, but we can just lift up the Lord and just praise him and just ask him just to continue to take over this service. So while you're standing, let's all turn to page 133. I've asked Brother Eddie, if you'll mic up, Brother Eddie, see if your mic's on. And I feel like traveling on. I need y'all's help with this one. I don't get to do it that often. Praise the Lord.
You do it after we sign.
Yeah, I didn't do anything. I just thought, I didn't know if what was on and what wasn't when I turned on the switch. I feel like traveling on.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on.
Amen.
Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. Sun out.
worship the Lord tonight. You know, no matter what kind of gifts, no matter what kind of situation our Christmas was, and seeing the kids and the grandkids running around and having a great time. But this promise right here, and just our heavenly home, I just feel like traveling home. I just praise the Lord tonight. Let's give Him one more hand clap. May we worship Him in everything that we do. You may be seated. Amen. You may be seated if you can. Praise the Lord. I know there's, I don't have any new announcements up here, so do we have any announcements tonight, Sister Lord? Do you know of anything, or Miss Penny?
Praying in the new year.
Praying in the new year. That's right. It's a wonderful time. I don't want anyone to forget. If you have an opportunity, we normally meet up here prior to midnight. I don't know if we're doing Pacific time, but between 11:40, something like that.
Yeah, 11:30 would be here.
11:30. 11:30, if you're available New Year's Eve night, be careful when you're coming over. But the church will be open. It's very quaint. Just come on, and we're just going to gather together. And it's a wonderful time on the altar, a wonderful time of prayer, whether you want to sit in a pew or kneel at the altar, whatever the situation is. And we'll just pray in the new year. Doesn't, you know, it's not many minutes that it takes to go through, but surprisingly how fast that prayer time comes as we just come to the Lord and just come with an open heart and mind and just release what we have. Anything left open, and with that anticipation of an exciting new year, and for, you know, just for whatever God has in store for us. And anything else? I don't want to miss anything else. Don't forget, we will have normal service Sunday morning with Sunday school. If you're not Sunday school, we'd love to have you join us, and we'll have a wonderful time. Please keep in prayer all those that are traveling and that won't be able to be with us this Sunday, but if you can at all, make plans to come. Praise God. Any other announcements? That's it. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering and move right along. Sister Linda, if you could do a song for us tonight, if you'll prepare one. And Sister Penny, I'm going to call on you, please. Give you a moment ahead of time to think of something. And just praise the Lord. Anyone else want to do a song tonight? I see some fingers being pointed. What does this mean? We're one point one way or the other.
Two volunteers.
A duet.
A duet?
Yeah.
Y'all ready? Brother Betsy, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our offering, please.
First of all, I want to say, I've just been praising the Lord. For the past 2-3 weeks, it's just been a praise for me. And, you know, it's been a little unusual because, you know, but I don't know. It's just like a love and a peace of God's been with me the past few weeks. And I praise Him. And I believe the more that we praise Him instead of complaining, I really believe that we'll get through things a lot quicker, Sister Penny.
Certainly.
We will. So I just love Him tonight. And, you know, we can't love Him enough because He's been merciful and good. And He's also dealt with my heart about this new year. It's a time to get real excited for Him and have expectations. And the main great thing that he's brought to my mind is go to the lost, the sick, and the dying, Brother Eddie. That's what he wants us to be, is out about his business. Amen. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the load of guilt and of shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same, because he touched me. Oh, he touched me, and all the joy that left my soul, something happened.
You know, I'm not a singer, but I know I call on so many people and I, you know, put them on the spot, and the Lord just laid on my heart that maybe tonight's my turn. I just want to sing How Great Thou Art, and I just want y'all to join in with me if you'd like to sing. I'm just going to sing a couple of verses, but I think we do it in G's.
Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power grew out
just want to lift you up. Dear Lord, we just want to honor you. Lord, we praise your holy name. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for loving us first. Lord, thank you for giving us your all. And Lord, we just want to praise you. And Lord, may you be glorified in everything that's said and done and through our lives and through our vocations, and Lord, and through our vacations and the situations, dear Lord, as we just take it. May we honor you with all that we do. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Penny, praise God.
Well, I'm going to try to sing this. I don't think I've sang it and played it at the same time, so we'll see how it goes.
Yes, ma'am.
The blood is still there. The blood is still there. F. I don't even know if I know the right key, so anyway. One dark night in Egypt, a fearful time had come for one little Hebrew boy who was his father's firstborn son. Now with the angel of death passing low, it was hard to fall asleep. But one little lamb stayed in his mind as he lay there counting sheep. He wondered why the young lamb had to die, why his blood was on the door. Through the wind and rain it still remained, but he wanted to be sure. He called to his earthly father with trembling voice, so scared, crying, "Father, will you please look and see if the blood is still there?" And he said, "Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The rain may fall, but it won't just wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there." Looking over the damage Satan's storm had left behind, the flood of endless questions, doubt had filled my mind. Brought me my troubled soul, brought me back to my knees in prayer. And see if the blood is still there. And he said, "Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow, the rain may fall, but it won't just wash away. The blood will stay. It's been applied with loving care. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there."
Thank you.
Praise God. So much to be thankful for. Amen. Such a good God we serve. Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Praise God. Do you love Jesus?
Yes. Amen.
How could you not love Jesus? Amen. Praise the Lord. So wonderful. So good. Hopefully each and every one of you had a wonderful Christmas season. Getting ready for a brand new year. A lot of expectation in this year. Penny and I was talking today. And, you know, just to say 2018, you know, the remarkable thing is that it doesn't seem like it was just a few short years ago that everybody was anxiously awaiting or dreading the year 2000. And a lot of paranoia during that time, a lot of frustration. You know, the world was supposed to crash. All the computers were supposed to crash. I was not going to be able to get to my $7.23 in the bank. And, you know, things were just going to be really, really bad. And but, you know, the sun started shining the next day, and, you know, everything kind of panned out. And here we are looking in anticipation to 2018. But you know what? The Bible says we don't even have the promise of tomorrow. So the main thing is to be ready, amen, when the Lord comes or calls or whenever that is, and we won't have to worry about it. If you have your Bibles tonight, we want to go to the book of Hebrews. Yeah, if you want to stand, this is going to be more of a just a study tonight rather than probably a sermon. And usually when I say that, I end up preaching, but probably, you know, there's a five-fold ministry, and I ain't one of the teachers, that's for sure. I never claimed to be. But this was so interesting to me, especially at this particular season. And I guess if I had a particular verse, we'll read verse number 11. I guess that'll be our text tonight. In the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 9. Boy, we got power in. We've got heat and power and good to have that. Verse number 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into once. And he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. Can we bow our heads in prayer?
Yes.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your house and worship tonight. For the desire that you've given us, Lord, and placed in our hearts to come and worship you. Father, we do remember so many people who are suffering, so many are sick and afflicted. And Father, certainly we pray a prayer of healing for their behalf tonight. Touch them, Lord, and strengthen their bodies. Bless those who are traveling, those in the hospitals and the nursing homes tonight. And Father, especially those who are lost, so many in the world today. God, and I pray, Lord, for a mighty revival that will sweep over this nation, over this world. God, that will turn souls, Lord, to you. Father, we know that you are the answer, Lord, the answer to all of the world's problems. And Father, I pray tonight that we'll be more committed, more faithful, more dedicated during this upcoming year. Lord, not a resolution, God, but just a purpose in our heart to live closer to you. Ask you now to anoint these lips of clay, God. Lord, just give us that tonight, Lord, that we need to hear from heaven. Lord, as we enter into your word, God, I pray, Lord, that it'll be fruitful in our hearts and it'll spring forth. And God, that we'll be about your business and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. We're going to invite you to study along with us tonight. I guess that's the best way to talk about it. This season, you know, I was talking to Brother Jim McCoy, and he was talking and said something about he had asked a person or somebody had asked a person their two favorite holidays, and the person said, well, he said, my two favorite holidays are the birth of Christ and the death of Christ, or the resurrection of Christ. And the guy looked at him, he said, well, what about Easter and Christmas? And, you know, that's said in a comical way, but it's alarming today that a lot of people evidently do not really understand or know the meaning and the mission of Christ, the Lord and Savior. And, you know, here the Apostle Paul begins to explain it. Probably if we go back and look, and if you ever have a chance to just share that ninth chapter, if you want to witness or testify or talk to someone, that ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews lays out the blood, the importance of the blood. And we understand and know at this season the importance of the birth of Christ. I think everybody's got that part. They understand and know that Jesus Christ was born. Even those who are agnostic in faith and those who are even in other so-called religions understand that Christmas is about the celebration of the birth of the Messiah. They may not refer to it as a Messiah, but the birth of Jesus Christ. But just equally important as the birth of Christ is also the death of Christ and the resurrection. And here the Apostle Paul points out the necessity of death. And we're going to want to get into that. And the best way that I know to do this is maybe just kind of take it a verse or two at a time. And because the Bible explains it a lot better than I could stumbling over it. But I have a Bible here that has the Amplified Version, the King James Amplified Version too, that kind of brings that maybe to a little more light. So let's take it a verse or two at a time, beginning with verse number one in the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews, and talk about. And some of the topics that are brought out in here is the first covenant. And even the first covenant had certain rules and regulations. In fact, those rules and regulations and ordinances were even stricter than the ones that are adhered to today, because they had to follow those things. And it even talks about that, and we're going to get into that. And how many knows, and I know your Bible readers know that, you know, in the first covenant and the first tabernacle that you and I would not have been allowed to go back into the holiest of holies. You know, we would not, or the holy of holies. That was for the priest. And the two, in remembrance as reading this, that was for one time a year that he went in, not only for his sins and shortcomings, but the sins of the people as well. So in verse 9 it says, and I want you, in fact, who's got their Bibles? I want Brother Chris, if you've got your Bible with you, and Brother Jim, some of you others. What I want to do, not to confuse anybody, but to enlighten maybe, read the maybe verse 1 and 2 from, and then I want to read verse 1 and 2 as, you know, as is written from the Amplified here. So, Brother Chris, if you'll read verses 1 and 2. Chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Oh, Brother Jim, if you've got it while he's looking. Yeah. Verses 1 and 2.
Okay. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made. For first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary.
Okay. From the Amplified Version. Now, even the first covenant had its own rules and regulations for divine worship. And it had a sanctuary, but one of this world. Now, think about it, and we're going to get into a point where it talks about the second covenant, or the permanent covenant, not being a tabernacle of this world, but a tabernacle that was not made by hands. And we know that's referring to Jesus Christ. And in verse 2, for a tabernacle, actually it was a tent. How many remembers reading that the first tabernacle was actually a tent, was erected in the outer division or compartment of which were the lampstand and the table with its loaves of the showbread set forth. This portion is called the holy place. Did we realize that there was, even in the tabernacle, there was a place that even the people could enter, but there was a second part too, a second compartment, which was the holiest of holies. Yeah, and only the priest could go back there. And verse number 4, who's got that? Verse 4 and 5. Sister Jenya, have you got it? Verse 4 and 5. Okay, verse 4 and 5, It had the golden altar of incense and the ark, or the chest, that was the Ark of the Covenant, covered over with wrought gold. This ark contained a golden jar which held the manna and the rod of Aaron that sprouted and had the two stones of slab of the covenant being the Ten Commandments. How many knew that? Ark of the Covenant, or what was in the Ark of the Covenant, and even the jar. And then I thought it amazing that the jar which held the manna, you remember the manna wasn't any good the second day.
Right.
But yet this manna was able to be contained years and years later, even after they came and built the tabernacle or built the tent, and God was able to sustain that particular part. And then the Apostle Paul then mentioned something, said we cannot now speak particularly. And basically what it says, we cannot now go into detail about these things. In other words, there was so much detail. And if you remember me reading in the Old Testament, you know, God had a perfect plan, and he had shared with Moses in exactly how the tabernacle was to be erected, exactly where the furniture was supposed to be placed. Everything had rules and regulations that had to be adhered to exactly as God said. And another thing that happened was when God told Noah to build the ark. How many members who did the blueprints? God did. He told Noah exactly where to put the window, exactly how to build it, what to pitch it with, all of those things. All of these things, it's amazing when you begin to read the Word of God and put it together almost like a jigsaw puzzle. It's not confusing, but you look back and God knew exactly what he was doing in each and every step. And then verse 7 said, "But into the second with the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood." Now that is so important, because blood is the one thing that did not change from the worship of then to the worship of today. Now, wouldn't it be terrible if we came into the church and there were certain compartments that we did not have access to, or that we could not go? What if we could not come to the altar? What if we could not, you know, openly come to the altar? You know, we encourage people here. In fact, we often say, this altar's never closed. How can you close an altar of God? It's always open. This is a place where we, you know, not only invite people, but we want you and expect people to come boldly into the house of God and worship him in spirit and in truth. But that was not the situation in the first tabernacle. It says, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Let me read verse 7 and 8 from the Amplified. "But into the second division of the tabernacle, none but the high priest could go. And he only went once a year, and never without taking a sacrifice of blood with him, which he offers for himself and for the errors and sins." This says sins of ignorance and sins of thoughtfulness, which the people have committed. "By this, Holy Spirit points out that the way into the true Holy of Holies is not yet thrown open, as long as the former, the outer portion of the tabernacle, remains a recognized institution and is still standing." So that tells us that the true Holy of Holies is not a compartment. It's not a place that's off limits to everybody except the priest. But because of the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, because that Jesus Christ came and became that tabernacle for us, and understand, he did not continue the blood sacrifice. He became the blood sacrifice. So the blood still stands true today. And because of that, he is that supreme sacrifice in which he becomes that tabernacle. And the tabernacle is within man. You remember when Jesus said the tabernacle is within man. So thank God for that. So not only the first covenant had rules and regulations, but it referred to as a worldly sanctuary. Now, what do you think that the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said worldly sanctuary? In fact, what do we think about when we think about worldly?
People.
We think about the devices of the world, don't we? People and what they involved in and the different things that are worldly. But basically what he was talking about here was the material things of the world. Understand that this tabernacle was erected by things of this world. If you remember, the tent itself was made mostly of animal skins. And even the gold and stuff like that, all of that stuff was made from stuff that was here and other worldly material. And the Apostle Paul here points to the tabernacle being Jesus Christ, not made by hands. In other words, it was the Son of God. And it's beautiful when you begin to think about this and how precious our life is with us. You know, I'm thankful that we were born after the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful that we were born after Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Not only, to celebrate his birth, but again, the death of Christ was so important. Because had it not been for his death, we would have still been going to the priest, still been somewhere trying to get him to offer up a blood sacrifice on account of our sins. And it's so much better to be able to go into the holiest of holies, you know, which is Christ Jesus. And it says, and then we get to the text tonight, verse 11 and 12. And I want to read that from the Amplified, if you'll allow me to. But that appointed time came. Can you say praise the Lord? When Christ the Messiah appeared as a high priest of the better things that have come and are to come. Then, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with human hands, that is not part of this material creation, he went once for all into the Holy of Holies of heaven, not by virtue of the blood of goats or calves, by which to make reconciliation between God and man, but his own blood, having found and secured a complete redemption and everlasting release for us. And I was so thankful. I had no idea what Penny was going to sing tonight, but she hadn't sung that song in forever. But it went along right along with what the text is tonight. And the blood certainly will always be there. That's the one perfect thing that we can always count on for the blood of Jesus Christ. And isn't it wonderful that God's plan did involve, again, a blood sacrifice. And the blood sacrifice certainly... and that's the reason. I mean, you know, a lot of people just think about the birth of Christ. That's the reason that Jesus had to be born of a human being, conceived of by the Holy Spirit, which was God the Father, but he had to have the blood. He meant the Spirit doesn't have blood, but he had to have that. And that, you know, all of these things didn't just, it wasn't by chance. It was by the perfect plan of God. So as wonderful as the virgin birth of Christ is, that's the beginning of the story. It's also the necessity of death. And we're going to get to that part and when Paul actually calls it the necessity of death. Now, and in verse 13 and 14, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more? Those are three very important words. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. For if the mere sprinkling of unholy and defiled persons with blood of goats and bulls, with the ashes of a burnt heifer, is sufficient for the purification of the body, then how much more, the Apostle Paul says, surely shall the blood of Christ, who by virtue of his eternal Spirit, his own preexistent divine personality, has offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice to God, purify our consciences from dead works and lifeless observations to serve the everlasting God. Think about the sacrifices. What were some of the specific rules and regulations of the sacrifices? Just any old lamb? Just any old bullock? Had to be the best. Yeah. Had to be one. And that's where they say without spot and without blemish. In other words, it couldn't even be, you would think about spot, it, not only a sickly one, it couldn't even be one that even looked sickly or had any kind of deformity or anything like that. And again, what does that teach us? To give our very best to God, you know. It'd be so easy to say, well, this let's sacrifice this goat because he's not going to make it anyway. And that's almost like saying, I'm going to fast this week because I got a stomach virus and can't eat anyway. That, you know, where's the sacrifice in that? And you know, that really, you know, sometimes Satan will tell you that, well, yeah, you go ahead and, today would be a good day to fast because you're sick anyway. That's not really sacrificing unto God. you know, sacrifice that or that fast, you know, when you're feeling good. And isn't this the way that it happens when you set aside that time or that day or something? How many times during the day are you offered something to eat that you wasn't before? You know, you could not make that fast day or something, and you could go about your business. But seemingly, the day that you set aside that you're going to do that, and I used to do it on the bread route, and it seemed like everywhere I went, here, man, you know, we just got some of this. How about trying some of this, you know, and that. And you know what that is? That's the trick of the devil. That's not the devil, the people that offered it to me, but that's just the wiles of the devil trying to trick you and trying to get you to give in to something that you had already sanctified and proclaimed a fast unto the Lord. And it's just wonderful how that you know, we need to be able to give our very best unto the Lord. And that's what these sacrifices were all about. Yes, absolutely. Please do. And again, y'all slow me down because I want y'all to interact.
The priest would go in around his garment would be veiled.
Mm-hmm.
Because and they'd tie a rope around him. And if he wasn't pleasing to God back there, they'd have to he'd die and they'd have to pull him out.
Because nobody could go back and get him. That's true. Nobody was qualified to go behind the curtain, the Holy of Holies, and get him out. So if he was disobedient unto God or did something. Yep, the little bells on the end of his garments, you know, so they could pull him out. Brother Chris.
Also on that, you're talking about sacrifice. That's something that we don't do anymore as Christians. We don't sacrifice at all, period.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's Sunday, and because it's between the hours of 10 and 12, this is where we have to be so we can tell everybody in the world that, hey, we went to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect us one bit if we don't get close to God and not sacrifice anything. The whole time the devil's laughing.
Let's see that. Come on.
That we're the ones that are poor, you know. But if we make that sacrifice, you know, if we go a little further, if we press a little deeper, if we dig a little bit deeper in the love of God, there's something there for us. God's got something special for us, and He wants to commune with us, you know. And if we just push in, if we have courage enough to push in and say, you know what, just like you said, fashion, I'm setting myself to the side. I'm sacrificing
right. This,
not because I need to lose weight, not because of anything, but because I simply want more of you.
Hey, you got it.
And just get everything else out of the way, and I want more of you.
Amen. You know, that's an excellent thought. And to follow up on that, you know, Satan had no problem with him going into the outer compartment. Just as he does, Satan doesn't have a problem with us coming to church. But if we get involved in church, that's that's the thing about it. We really get into it and we do the sacrificing, you know, putting ourselves aside to praise and worship the Lord. But, you know, yeah, don't come to church because it's a duty. Come to church because it's a blessing, you know. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, praying one for another, and come and being involved in that. Because that, you know, again, like I said, you can have perfect attendance in church and still not really be committed to the Lord. It's not just about being here physically. It's being here spiritually in one mind and one accord. Yes. Sure.
When you come through the doors, you better be praying up and thinking you're here to serve and worship God. Because if you get in the routine, he's going to take you right with him, right back out the door.
Right.
Because he's here as much, he knows as much scripture, he knows where he has to be, he knows how close he has to get to you, he knows what to do to disturb you in church, he knows what to do to distract you in church. And if you're not praying, your mind's not right, it's easy for him to make you just look away.
Yep.
And that one time you look away, you may have missed a meal that God had for you.
Yeah.
And you've got to be careful. And then it's not just, as the brother said, it's not just a routine that we want to be seen here. It's coming to be fed and give him praise and honor and glory. When we talk about testimony, I come
Amen.
And I don't want to come in these doors with a lackadaisical mind so that Satan can just sit there and tickle your ears and get your mind off of what God wants you to have while you're here.
All right. That's so true. I was thinking as Brother Thomas was talking that the devil's good at mind games. He can get your mind on other things, and that's so true. I mean, he can come up, you know, with something. Oh, I'm thinking about, I got to do this or I got to do that, you know. But again, that's the hindrances, and you know, not to be offensive by any means, but and not throwing this at anybody, but sometimes we ourselves can come in and be a hindrance to the service, or be a hindrance to somebody sitting with us or being with us, because we're not really committed to the praise and worship of God and worshiping Him, and not, you know, we think it's only hurting us, but sometimes it, you know, you're restricting the Spirit of God and moving. How many's ever did you ever do the science project where you would hold hands and then you'd turn that little thing that would cause a little generation or generator to have some electricity, you know, and as long as you was holding hands, you know, it went all the way around. But if you broke it, then it would kind of, you know, shock you like that. And you know, God wants us to be in one mind and one accord. That's what the Bible says. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and praise. So
it's kind of like there's a table that's prepared and it's set, but not everybody that comes wants to eat from that table.
Yep, everybody's not hungry, are they?
That's right.
Everybody's not hungry. But He always has the table set. Every service, whether it's Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night, the table's always set. God's blessings are immaculate, and His storehouse of great blessings are always for us. But we got to want them. We got to desire that. Amen? All right. Okay, we talked about the first covenant having rules and regulations, the worldly sanctuary, all the material things, and all involved are great detail. That's what the Apostle Paul said. In other words, he said, we cannot now go into detail about these things. In other words, there were so many rules and regulations. But then he goes on to say, basically, that the Holy Ghost was not yet made manifest. But it is, as he's teaching this, but in that time, that it was not. So where did we get to? Verse 15?
Yeah.
Okay. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means, this is what's so important, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I want to read the Amplified Version. Christ the Messiah is therefore the negotiator and mediator of an entirely new agreement, a testament or covenant, so that those who are called and offered it may receive the fulfillment of the promised everlasting inheritance, since a death has taken place which rescues and delivers and redeems them from the transgressions committed under the old first agreement. There had to be a death taken place. And that was the message title tonight, The Necessity of Death. We certainly understand that there was a necessity of birth. And the birth of Christ is precious and it's wonderful. But there also was a necessity of death. And because of this, and because the Lord has laid it on my heart, this Sunday, of course, it's going to be New Year's Eve. But this Sunday morning when we have our service, I plan to have communion service too during that particular time. I know a lot of times we have communion service around Easter, but how better to start off the brand new year with remembering the death of Christ? Just after we've celebrated His birth, go in and partake of the body and His blood in the little cup and the little wafers, and do that and just basically commit ourselves to remembering each and every day about the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Brother Jim.
I just want to add too, talked so much about, you know, the high priest. It was a yearly thing.
Yeah.
It took a yearly sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
The blood of lambs and goats. And, you know, that special time. But it says in 12, it says that by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal resurrection or redemption for us. It was a one time, the purity and the holiness of Him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the purest, and as we read further, that it was a one. It's good. It's not something that you need to keep. You know, even though we stumble and fall, but as far as Christ, He never did.
Right.
And so that it was so pure, the sacrifice, that it only took one time. And I just know that once. I underlined it as you were reading it because that just caught my eye.
Well, the Apostle Paul talks about that, you know, that Christ died once. And for all, once for all of us, for all of the sin. And if I read this correctly, and y'all share with me too, these sins, mm-hmm, under the first covenant, under the first agreement, were not remitted. They were only rolled back. They were rolled back until that perfect Lamb came. Because the perfect Lamb of Christ is the one that remits the sins. So these sins that they had to offer the blood of goats and heifers and all that were only rolled back until Jesus Christ came and died once for all the sins. So, and this is really important too. In verse number 16, for where a testament is, how many knows what a testament is? A will. That's exactly what they're referring to. For a testament is, there must also of necessity, that's the word that I wanted to use, the necessity be the death of the testator. In other words, in the Amplified Version, for where there is a last will and testament involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. In my last will and testament, I leave so and so this particular amount. It's not theirs until there's a death. The promise is there, but it has not been established until the death of the testator or the one who made the will. So, and again, that's referring to Christ. So there, and the word necessity, you know, and that's, you know, when the human part of Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he prayed, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. You know what he was saying? Is there any other way other than death? But the answer is no. There must be the necessity of death. Because if you don't, then the last will and testament is void and of none effect. There had to be. So as important as the birth of Christ was, so also is the death of Christ. The necessity of the death. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that should be underlined in our Bibles. And I want to read from the Amplified. For a will and testament is valid and takes effect only at death, since it has no force or legal power as long as the one who made it is alive. So even the old first covenant, which was God's will, was not inaugurated and ratified and put in force without the shedding of blood. For when every command of the law had been read out by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of slain calves and goats, together with water and scarlet wool, and with a bunch of hyssop, sprinkled both the book, the law, which was the roll of the law, the covenant itself, and all the people, saying these words, this is the blood that seals and ratifies the agreement, the testament, which God commanded me to deliver to you. Then in verse number 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The Amplified says, by such means, therefore, it was necessary for the earthly copies of the heavenly things to be purified, but the actual heavenly things themselves required far better and nobler sacrifices than these. What are we referring to? For Christ, the Messiah, has not entered into the sanctuary made with human hands, only a copy and pattern and type of the true one. But he has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the very presence of God on our behalf. Amen. For he stands there as our mediator and negotiator, and for the precious blood. And then finally tonight, let me see, verse number 26. Or did I get to 25? Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And let's see, we'll read the Amplified 25. Nor did he enter into the heavenly sanctuary to offer himself regularly again and again, as the high priest enters into the Holy of Holies every year with the blood not of his own. That's what Brother Jim was referring to. For then would he have often have to suffer over and over again since the foundation of the world. But as it now is, he has once for all at the consummation and close of the ages appeared to put away and abolish sin by his sacrifice of himself. He sacrificed himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, you know, we talk about the necessity of death, but who was Paul's audience? Who was he sharing this with? He was sharing it with the Israeli people. He was sharing it with the Hebrew people. Now, understand now, this was all new to them. This was new to them because they'd been raised under the Mosaic Law and they were still offering sacrifices. Yes. We understand this, we read this, and we thank God for it. But many of those people were hearing it for the very first time. And that's the reason that so many Jewish people did not and still do not accept Christ as the Messiah. But thank God for the revelation. Thank God that he's brought it to our attention. And thank God that the word is there and the promise is there. And we don't have to depend on the priest to go back into the holiest of holies. Would it be sad if he just had once a year, you know, once a year to atone for those sins? But I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ. God bless you. Anybody else? Anything tonight?
I just can't help but get over verse 15.
Verse what?
15? Verse 15 of the Amplified.
Okay.
Christ the Messiah, the King, is therefore the negotiator and the mediator of an entirely new agreement. Negotiator and the mediator.
Yes. Right.
You know, if we're trying to make it to heaven on the works, we're not going to make it. You know, there's only one way that we can make it. And it just jumped out at me, you know, that he is a negotiator, that he's fighting for me.
Mm-hmm.
When the adversary, the devil, comes around like a roaring lion, accusing the brethren, accusing me, then God is standing up for me.
Right.
And he's fighting a battle that I know nothing about on my behalf. That amazes me. That not only would he send his son to die for me, but daily he stands up and says, "Hey, that's one of mine." That'll make you feel like somebody.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
You know, one—I don't remember who it was that I heard in a conversation or somebody shared. It's talking about, you know, Jesus being our negotiator or our lawyer. That's the way he referred to it. He's our attorney. He's our lawyer. And then he asked this person, would you rather stand before the judgment seat of God and explain your sins, or had you rather have Jesus Christ step in on your behalf for the forgiveness of your sins, you know? And certainly, I do not want to stand before the judgment seat of God without my negotiator, without Jesus Christ and his precious blood applied. Because that's what it's the blood, you know? And then you hear of these places today that want to take the blood completely out of it, and you can't deny the blood. That's the one thing. You know, the tabernacle changed, the furniture in the tabernacle changed, but the one thing that did not change was the blood. I know it was the blood of goats and animals and things like that, but he became the sacrifice of himself. And that word in there, the necessity of death, the necessity of death. And I know it was cruel. I know it was hard. And even to read about all the things that Christ endured. But he did that not because of his sin. He did that because of my sin, because of my shortcomings and because of my errors. Man, I should praise him with every breath I have every day for the rest of my life and for eternal life too. Anybody else? Sure.
She's had some health problems that I told her I was praying for. Well, anyway, Christmas Eve, I was getting ready to go down to my daughter's, and I was going around giving out Christmas cards to my neighbor, but I do that to a lot of my neighbors. And I stopped in front of her house, and I knocked on the door, and I said, Lucy, I said, I want you to know that I know that you don't celebrate Christmas. I said, but I'm going to give you this card because I love you. And I said, and I'm praying for you and your family. And the front of it, Brother Eddie said, be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I wrote her some more stuff in there. But you know what? We're supposed to let people know. We're supposed to, don't be afraid of them.
Right.
Witness to them. Let them know that Jesus is the reason that for the salvation of, you know, saving of the world.
Sure.
I mean, you know, they don't believe Jesus was the Savior either, but praise God, I gave her a card.
Yeah. Well, again, that's what the Apostle Paul, he was actually, his audience were strict Mosaic law believers, you know, so he was sharing that with them. Amen. Remember, Sunday morning, we will be having regular Sunday school and church service. We will be also including the communion service. There will not be a scheduled service Sunday night, but we will meet here around 11:30 for those who would like to come. And certainly we'll be praying, and we'll pray into 2018, pray in the brand new year. All right. Brother Jim, come and dismiss us with a word of prayer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Let's give the Lord praise tonight. As it's said many times, to be fed by His Word. I don't know about y'all, but I feel full. It was a wonderful scripture. It was meant for us tonight, and I believe that in my heart. I needed to hear that tonight, and I hope each and every one of you too. We want to say Happy New Year to each and every one of you, and with anticipation as we prepare for the new year coming in. But as through this time goes, what are no better way than to put Jesus first in our life, whether it be through new birth, new Christians being born, new people being converted. But for those of us that need to make a look at where we are and take this opportunity to get with the Lord and just make everything all right. Just say, Lord, it's yours. The struggles you have, the need you have in each and every situation. Let's be in much prayer for each another. Let's don't look, you know, and I love to say this. Let's look in the mirror and let's ask the Lord, where are we? And what do we need to do for Him? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, y'all just have a wonderful evening. I want to thank the Lord again for this opportunity we've had. And it will just put Him first in all that we do. With this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. If all hearts and minds are clear. All right. Yes, Sister Lori, I'm sorry.
I just want to ask a prayer for our family. We really did have a really good Christmas. This was our first Christmas without my dad and my brother-in-law. But New Year's morning will be the year anniversary of my dad's passing. And it's starting to hit Mama pretty hard. She put on a good face. But I won't be here with you guys. We're going to over and be with her that day, but it'll just lift the family up, especially
mine. Absolutely. Most definitely will. Anyone else? All righty. Well, this prayer will be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just praise and worship you. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to feast at your table and to hear your word read. Lord, we thank you for opening up our hearts, our minds, and our ears, dear Lord, to not only hear your word, but be receptive to the message you have for us. Dear Lord, we thank you for this sacrifice. Dear Lord, we thank you for this once and for all sacrifice. And, dear Lord, that may we come to you dear Lord, repentantly, dear Lord, and just give our life to you and accept you as our Lord and Savior. And dear Lord, for those that are through this holiday season doing without a loved one or going through a special time of need, Lord, we ask you to touch in each and every situation, each and every family, dear Lord. Lord, so many times, Lord, we pray to you, but dear Lord, may we receive that mercy, that grace, that peace, and that joy that only you can provide. Lord, that joy and peace that only you can provide in every storm in our life. And Lord, we thank you again for that. Dear Lord, thank you again for our pastor. And Lord, continue. We thank you for healing Brother Eddie's back. Dear Lord, we know you're touching him. And Lord, for all those others that are sick and in need. And Lord, we give you all the honor and glory, dear Lord, and we just put you first. In Jesus' most precious name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise.